The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. A special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. Please take a moment and sign the red pew pads and pass those along. There are several announcements in the bulletin. There are a few things that are happening this week. Mostly, though, there are fewer activities because of Thanksgiving. Elders, please pick up your packets in the tower room. We meet on Tuesday evening. Also, if you have any information, any items for the December newsletter, please make sure those are into Avis in the church office by tomorrow. This afternoon, there will be a legal seminar, Getting Things in Order. This has been planned by the Finance Committee. There'll be some lawyers here who will be able to give some direction and information about issues pertaining to end of life, living will, wills, things like that. And there will also be a time where there will be information available for funeral planning, what you would like to have in terms of a service and things like that. It seems kind of gruesome, I know, to talk about things like this, but I have found that if you talk about it once, if you think about it for an hour or so and you put a file together, you can put the file away and then you don't have to think about it. And then your family will be very grateful for that in the future. So if you have the time this afternoon, that's at 2 o'clock, we invite you to come to that and to just make some plans. There's also a brief congregational meeting today after worship, the purpose of which is to elect officers. There's information in your bulletin about the officers who have been nominated to serve a 3-year term beginning in January. Finally, there is an announcement that is not in your bulletin, but that is about the bell ring for the Salvation Army. Our deacons and others are going to be ringing bells on December 1st, and there is one opening left, and that is at 11 a.m., I am told, so it's prime time. If you're interested in ringing a bell for 1 hour, please talk to Alice Zimmerman right there, and she can put your name on the list and help you out with that. That's on December the 1st at 11 a.m. Next Sunday, after Thanksgiving, we will be having the PW Thank Offering. There'll be more information about that coming next Sunday, but please prayerfully consider how you might support that. And the Sunday afterward, we will be having Hanging of the Greens on the first Sunday of Advent. Time for food and fellowship after worship, and then we will decorate the church for the Advent and Christmas season. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God. Please stand as we worship God together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
God provides every blessing in abundance. God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, we can approach God with confidence as we pray together. Eternal God, we confess that we have failed to seek your will. We have not lived with gratitude for the generous gift of your grace. We have not shared with others and have abused your good creation. Forgive us, God of grace. Help us to return to you, giving thanks and praise for all you have done. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. Behold, a new life is begun. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
When we are at peace with one another, God is with us. When we are thankful, God is with us. When we are now ready to hear the word proclaimed and prayers prayed, God will be with us. So let us pray together that we may hear the word God has for each of us today. Draw us close, Holy Spirit,
as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words
The first lesson today, the Old Testament, is from Joel 2, verses 21 through 27, Old Testament, page 847. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord with your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second lesson this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. This comes from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Listen again to God's word. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In case you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm the kind of person who can easily get caught up in the details, the little things in life, and I'm a worrier, or at least a recovering worrier. More than 20 years ago now, a book was published. It was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. A nice sentiment. I'm not sure I can agree with that. It's a good title for a book, I always thought, especially for a book like someone like me who does tend to sweat the small stuff and who freely admits to being a bit of a control freak. Having an eye for detail isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's the getting caught up in the details that might be. On my recent vacation, I have to tell you, I was sweating the small stuff a bit before my plane even took off. You see, I had scheduled a rather tight connection in Toronto, and my flight was delayed before it even left Harrisburg. That will teach me to fly out of Harrisburg. When we finally did land in Toronto, it seemed like an eternity before they let us off the plane. I'm sure it was just a minute or two. And of course, my connecting flight was at the other end of what turned out to be a very large airport. And so I was worried. What if I don't make my flight? What if my suitcase doesn't make my flight? That's the traveler's nightmare. And so I'm sprinting through the airport, literally sweating the small stuff, and I made it to the gate just as the plane started to board. And the good news is that my suitcase also made it. I was thinking about this experience of sweating the small stuff this week as I was reading this gospel lesson from Matthew. I've read these words of Jesus many times before. You probably have as well. You've probably heard them many times. They come, as I said, from the Sermon on the Mount. They are probably some of Jesus' most famous, most well-known words. But I'm always struck by these words. Jesus' admonition not to worry. Because I'm a worrier, as I said, or at least a recovering worrier. In this passage, Jesus seems to be saying to the crowds who have gathered to hear him speak, major on the majors, minor on the minors. That is, be concerned with the big things in life, not with the little things. Focus on the big important things, like the kingdom of God and all these other details will take care of themselves. They'll fall into place. God will take care of them. I'm not sure that's exactly how Jesus would have said it, but it seems to me that the things on which Jesus would have us focus, the things on which Jesus wants us to focus, are usually not the things on which we are focused. For many people today, our lives are crammed full of things to do and experience, things to master, things to own, things to keep us busy. We are threatened by even the possibility of an idle, quiet moment when we might have to be alone with ourselves. And so we fill our days and our lives and our basements and our attics and our garages with all sorts of things. We do this, I think, in an attempt, however misguided, to provide for ourselves. We want to project a certain image that all is well, that we have enough, and that if we have enough, we'll be safe and secure and happy. And by enough, I mean more than we could ever possibly need. There has been this attitude developing recently, an attitude of scarcity, that there might not be enough food or shelter or clothes or toys or money or whatever, and so we better stockpile it all now, lest the world suddenly run out of bread, milk, and toilet paper. Which the giant almost did on Wednesday night. I tried to buy milk and phew. And then we hear Jesus. We hear Jesus speak to us in the midst of all this. Do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Those words get me every time. Thanks, Jesus. It's so easy to have this narrow view of life, to worry about food and clothing, the physical things, and to forget that life is so much more. We live in a time of abundance. Only a few of us will ever know what it is like to truly be hungry. You might not have the latest fashions from New York or Paris, but everyone I know has clothes to wear. And yet we are seemingly obsessed with what are rightly considered the minor things. We are not satisfied with what we have. We want more. And so our focus tends to drift. The things on which Jesus wants us to focus are not always okay. Rarely are they the things on which we do focus. We focus on physical needs, but Jesus reminds us of the importance, the vitality of our spiritual needs. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? I've learned that lesson many times in my life, most powerfully in places like Honduras and Guatemala and Haiti, places where life seems so much more tenuous than it does here, places where people actually probably have good reason to worry about where their next meal will come from. I'll tell you a little story about a woman named Maria Elena. She is a very faithful member of the Presbyterian Church in Honduras. She is an elder in her congregation, Peña de Horeb Church in Tegucigalpa. I met Maria Elena 7 or 8 years ago as a team from our Carlisle Presbytery went to Honduras and worked on her house. We worked to expand what was a very, very small house where 4 people were living. We worked to expand it so that they would have a little more space. And the family was so grateful for this gift, and so now every time one of our teams visits Honduras, we have to go to Maria Elena's house so that she can say thank you to us again. And part of our visit to Maria Elena's house is always food. She is a consummate hostess. The problem is that often before we stop at Maria Elena's house, we have been at church on Sunday morning, and the church always feeds us lunch. And so usually we are not hungry at Maria Elena's house. But I've noticed over the years that when food is offered to the Hondurans, they will eat it, even if they've just had lunch a half an hour before. At first, I thought, well, maybe this is a case of good manners, that they have good manners and I don't. And that might be the case, but it also dawned on me that if you live in a place where food is not always plentiful, and someone offers you free food, you eat it, because you don't always know where your next meal is going to come from. Sometimes food is expensive, and sometimes it is scarce, and so if food is offered to you, you eat it. That's the reality of living in a place like Honduras. It's a reality that few of us will ever have to face. And yet, the faith of our brothers and sisters in Honduras and places like it remains undaunted. They hear these words of Jesus, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear." They hear these words differently than we do. They know the power of faith in the face of want and hunger and need. They know the power of faith. They know that God cares deeply and intimately for them. They know the power of prayer. They know what hunger feels like, but they also know what God's presence feels like. They know firsthand that they are of exceeding great value, far more precious even than the birds of the air. In short, they know their identity. They know who they are as children of God. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns." That is, they don't do all of the things that we humans do with food. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" What a question! Are you not of more value than the birds? Of course. We forget, don't we? We forget our identity, or at least our primary identity, as children of God, claimed by the waters of baptism and welcomed into the covenant community of God's people. We forget that there's always a place at this table, God's table, for us. We forget just how precious we are in God's sight. We allow our identity to come from other places. We allow it to diminish us. We're sort of like the brothers in the parable of the prodigal son, in that we forget. Both sons are forgetful of their identity in this parable. One son demands his share of the family fortune, and he goes off to a distant land, and he squanders that money in what Jesus calls dissolute living. Such a polite way to put it. The other son remains with his father, working day in and day out. When the prodigal son finally comes to his senses, he returns home. "It would be better to work as a slave for my father," he reasons, "than to live like this." And when he returns home, the father is overjoyed. He goes running to welcome his son with gusto. He places a ring on his finger and a robe on his shoulders, and he orders the fatted calf to be killed so they can have a grand celebration. The elder brother, and we know this story, the elder brother, the one who is always there serving with his father, he is angry. He doesn't understand all this fuss. And when the father explains it to him or tries to explain it to him, he is even more upset. "I've always served you, father," he says. "I've always served you, and yet you never even gave me so much as a goat so that I might go and have a party with my friends." The thing about the parable of the prodigal son is that at certain points during the story, both of the brothers forget who they are. They forget their true identities. The younger brother only knows that he wants his share of the inheritance. He's focused on money and the happiness that he supposes it will bring to him. He forgets that his father is still alive. But eventually, he wises up. Life beats him down until there's no place left to go but home, and to throw himself on his father's mercy. The older brother also forgets his identity. He is so caught up in working for his father that he forgets his position as the eldest son. When his father is trying to convince him to come to the party, the oldest son just can't do it. Even when his father says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. All that is mine is yours." Think about those words for a moment. How sad is it that this oldest son doesn't understand, doesn't recognize his identity as the father's beloved son? He spends his life thinking that he is nothing more than a slave because he worked like a slave, because he never even got so much as a goat to celebrate with his friends, and yet he is a son. The prodigal returns home willing to work as a slave in his father's fields because at least then he would have something to eat. But instead, he is welcomed home as a son who is dead, but has now come to life. His identity is restored, but the older brother, we don't know. We never find out if he embraces his identity, if he remembers. That's the thing about our identity. We often get confused and we forget. We don't see any value in who we are as beloved children of God. And yet Jesus asks, "Are you not of more value than the birds?" These birds whom God cares for and feeds every day. Are you not of more value than them? The world tries to tell us that we are worthless, that our value lies only in our intelligence or our beauty or our ability to make money. But Jesus says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, the great King Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." The only proper response we can make to Jesus' words is a response of gratitude. If God cares for us more than the birds and the lilies whom he feeds and tends, then what else can we do than say thank you? What else can we do than thank God each and every day, not just one particular day, although it's nice and good to focus on that, but to thank God each and every day, to live lives of gratitude. In recognition of God's blessings, we are bringing to God today our financial commitments to God's church for the next year. This is an opportunity for us to say, I belong to God. I'm a child of God. God has blessed me. God has taken care of me because I'm more precious than birds and more beautiful than lilies. This is an opportunity for us to say that life is more than food and clothing, that our spiritual needs are even more important. To a bunch of worried and worrying people, Jesus says, don't. Don't worry, because God, your heavenly Father, knows what you need. He'll take care of you. Instead of worrying, seek God's kingdom. Strive for his righteousness. Trust and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and all these things will be added to you as well. Major on the majors. Focus on the kingdom. Minor on the minors. And all these things will be taken care of by our God, by our Father, who is far better at handling the details than any of us. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, help us. Help us to seek your kingdom, to seek your righteousness, to seek you as you have sought us in Jesus Christ. Help us to love the way you have loved us, and to serve the way you serve us. All this we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Together, let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us now be in prayer together. God of grace and mercy, we give you thanks for this day, for our lives, and for one another. We give you thanks for the rich music that fills our sanctuary and our hearts. We give you thanks for this week's first fresh fall of snow and the way it renders our old familiar world new for discovering. As the days grow dark and cold, keep us held in your warm embrace. Kindle our hearts to radiate your love to a world that shivers in want of it. Loving God, so many in this world are hurting, so many are grieving, struggling against this global tide of pain and tragedy. We know that you are present, but we wonder how we might offer your hope and comfort to this broken world. Help us to take our cues from those strong in heart who are in the very center of these tragedies and who still defiantly celebrate your gifts of beauty, love, and life. O God, as our nation wrestles with how to respond to our siblings around the world, help us to find the courage to be ambassadors of your peace. Challenge us to offer open hearts and open arms to those who are seeking solace. Merciful God, we know too that there are many who suffer in our own city and neighborhoods and community. Through the cacophony of violence, poverty, and injustice, help us to sing your song of love and solidarity. Show us how to sing with voices calling for justice for all of your beloved world. With feet that boldly march through barriers that would divide us, and with hands that are never too full to take hold of a neighbor's trembling fingers. We pray too, O God, for those in our very midst this day, for those who are lonely, give comfort. For those who are mourning, give them comfort. For those who are sick in body or soul, give them strength and swift healing. And finally, gracious God, we pray for ourselves. In the silence of this moment, we lift up the deepest yearning of our hearts, trusting you to draw near to them and to us. Holy God, in this time of restless uncertainty, help us to remember that no brokenness is more powerful than your gentle, steadfast promise of grace. In defiant, hopeful faith, we are bold to pray together as your Son taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come to the time of worship, where we can give our time, our talents, and our treasure to God. In confirmation class this morning, we worked on being thankful, naming things from A to Z that we are thankful for in this world. So as you filled out your commitment cards, as you celebrate Thanksgiving this week, I pray that each of you think of what God has given you, from A to Z, Alpha to Omega, the things that you can be grateful for. And we ask our ushers now to come forward.
Together, let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we, your unworthy servants, give you most humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Give us such an awareness of your mercies that our hearts may be thankful and that we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Just a reminder that we do have a brief congregational meeting after the benediction and the response. If you are not able to stay, or if you are not a member and don't want to stay, you're welcome to go, or to go to the fellowship hall. We'll join you shortly. You probably won't eat all the food, or hopefully you won't eat all the food. Don't eat all the food. For the rest of us, active members are invited to stay and have a very brief congregational meeting to elect officers. Go out now into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak and help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Session has called this congregational meeting for today for the sole purpose of electing elders and deacons for the class of 2021. We begin with prayer. Eternal God, we are grateful. We are grateful that people each and every day answer your call to service. We are grateful for these men and women who have heard you speak in this place and who have agreed to serve you here in various positions. We pray your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Clerk, do we have a quorum?
We have a quorum.
Then the first and only piece of business before you is the election of officers. You have the slate before you. For deacons, Jamie Hoffman, Connie Hustler, Dennis Hustler, and Deb Richcreek. And for elders, Bruce Bailey, David Killian, Ray Thomas, and Carlton Walker. I am told and reminded to ask for nominations from the floor, if anyone would like to nominate someone from the floor. Seeing none, I would ask that we proceed to a vote. All those in favor of the slate as presented, please say yes.
Yes.
Those opposed, please say no. Okay. Motion carries. You have been elected. A special thank you to our nominating committee, chaired this year for the second time. And last time, for a while, by Linda Mann. She has to rotate off that committee. But thank you to Linda and to the rest of her committee. They did a fantastic job finding nominees for this year, and we're grateful for their hard work. If you were on the nominating committee, you could wave your hand. Good job. Thank you. There is no other business to bring before the congregation today, so I would ask for a motion to adjourn. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Let us pray. Lord, on this day, we know that meetings are sometimes boring or tedious, and sometimes they just have to be done, but we are grateful once again that you call people to serve you, and we're grateful for these men and women. Give them energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, O God, to serve you and to serve your people here in this place with warm and open hearts, following your leading as they and all of us are led by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.